Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 35 of the Self-Help Podcast. And this is a special episode because it's not just me, it's not just Sean, but we've got Ree Orford with us here. How are you doing, Ree?
I'm good, thanks. A bit nervous.
Well, this is a bit different for all of us, isn't it? It's exciting.
I never thought it would happen. I'm just ecstatic. It's amazing.
We finally got her.
Yeah.
In front of the microphone. She's going to be a natural. I can tell.
Yeah.
This is a special episode because this week we're talking about cancer, which Sean knows a lot about and Ree knows a lot about as well, because you deal with cancer patients each and every day, don't you, Ree?
Yep, Monday to Friday. Yeah.
How's that for you for a start? That must be pretty full on.
Yeah, it is, but I wouldn't do anything else. Really, it's that thing about having a job that you do, whether you're paid for it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those who don't know who we are Live in the Present. Go to liveinthepresent.co.uk. You can find out all about us. It is me, Sean, and Ree. Ree is a key member of the Live in the Present team. She hasn't been on the show before, but she does a lot of behind the scenes work, don't you, Ree?
I do.
And well, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but you are a psycho-oncology counsellor. You're not just a regular counsellor. That's a pretty fancy title.
Yeah, it's a bit like Marks and Spencer's, isn't it? This isn't any ordinary.
Yeah. And interestingly, cancer brought us all together, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
So
yeah,
that's one kind of good thing it's done. Which,
but someone has to tell the story now that you've said it. Go and you tell the story.
Yeah, okay. Well, I used to temp at Clatterbridge Centre for Oncology. Is it still called that now?
No, it's called the Clatterbridge Cancer Centre.
Okay. I used to have a temp job there working as a medical records clerk. And, when I came to do the computer training, when they show you how to use all that awful software they have at the NHS, I can say that because I don't work for the NHS. But who was there doing the training? It was none other than Ree. And we hit it off straight away, didn't we, Ree? And then you put me in touch with Sean.
Yeah.
Which I'll never forgive you for.
Neither will I.
And that was, blimey, that was probably like 10 years ago, something like that.
It's got to be.
And we've been friends ever since.
Yeah.
And you get on.
And we do loads of work together. It's good.
We do, yeah. So that's one good thing cancer has done for us. That's probably the last good thing it's done for anyone. But quick, how are you? How are you doing, Sean? We'll get you in on the conversation.
I'm pretty good. I'm a running man, so my life is about running and being fit and being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all living longer, so I need to be fit and healthy when I get old.
What's your goal? What's your, I mean, age-wise, what do you want to hit?
Oh, I'm 100? Probably going for the 100, yeah.
120?
I'll go for the ton. Yeah, and I should be fit all the way.
So. Yeah. You're going to be one of those 102-year-old marathon runners.
Yeah.
Break
record. I love that guy, yeah. Amazing.
Excellent. Yeah, I've just got written down here what have I been doing. Buzzing. Just things going pretty well at the moment, just working hard. I've got a guy in America doing some work for me. I've kind of hired someone to work for me, which is quite exciting.
You have an employee?
Yeah.
In America?
Yeah. In America, yeah. There's a website called odesk.com where you can hire people to do, well, jobs for you. You know, so I'm hiring someone to do some video work for me, which I just haven't got the time for.
So busy.
So, yeah. It's been an interesting little process. But I had a Skype chat with him the other week. This guy's in California. Nice guy called Tom. So, yeah, and he's doing stuff for me, and I send him in a bit of dosh, and he sends me some files back. What a world, eh?
Wonderful.
This is very interesting. How about you, Ree? You had a good week?
Yeah, I've had a busy week. Come back from Leeds, because I went away.
Yeah.
I had a good time away on the HOPE course,
mm-hmm.
being trained
by... We'll talk more about that later, but that sounds quite interesting.
Trained by the lovely Andy, so that was good. And then, yeah, busy with work.
Everyone's busy, aren't they?
Yeah.
We're all busy.
Wouldn't be any other way. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right, let's quit this chit-chat. Let's dive into the conversation. And it's a serious one, so I'll try not to be too flippant this week, which may be tricky, but it's all right. We're talking about cancer, and there's some relevance to the timing of this podcast because isn't it National Talk About Cancer Week, or it's just been
This week we're recording the podcast today. Is the week of Cancer Awareness Week with Macmillan, about talking, getting people to talk about cancer this week. I think it's also awareness for cervical cancer.
Yeah.
Each week throughout the year, there'll be different
parts. Well, one of the things I'd like to stick in, I just talked about being flippant. And, okay, we shouldn't be flippant, but I think that there's nothing wrong with humour. And one of the things I'd say that in my work is some of the funniest and most fulfilling times that I've ever had have been working in hospices with people that were dying from cancer. And just some lovely, lovely memories that I have of doing that work. And because we start to talk about a difficult subject, it doesn't mean to say that we have to become terribly serious about it. Humour is a very, very powerful and healing tool. So I'm making a bid for we don't need to be too po-faced or serious about
so
the subject.
Ed's got free rein to say what he wants.
I'd go along with that. From some of the people that I've seen and saying cards that I've got, thank you cards, one in particular springs to mind where somebody wrote to me, "I never thought I would laugh so much during our sessions or have so much fun."
And
certainly people walking past my clinic room will say, "What's been going on in that room?"
Blimey. Okay.
You can hear laughter. So, it is serious. And sometimes it is really, really difficult, and there are lots of tears or anger, but happiness and laughing is an emotion.
Do you have a standard joke or like a little routine you do? is it prop based? Are you juggling or anything like that?
No, Ed.
No. Okay, well, let's start. Well, we've already started, but let's continue by talking about some facts behind cancer, because there's a few myths out there around it, and it's. It's a bit of an unspoken word, isn't it, sometimes?
The thing that I like is that lots of people I work with, I think it's different in Fidri's world, but a lot of the people that I work with don't like to use the word cancer. They will use the word big C, because as soon as you start using cancer, people start to get scared. And we relate the word cancer directly to death, whereas actually you're more likely to die from other things other than cancer. And the biggest killer in Britain is the cardiovascular stuff. It's the
heart disease,
yeah. And you're much more likely to die from heart disease than you are from cancer. And below that becomes asthma and COPD, which is the congestive lung disorders. Below that we have strokes.
Blimey.
And then below that we have cancers.
Yeah.
And below cancers we have liver disease.
And then so, shark attack.
If you're lucky.
And don't forget the bus.
Yeah, don't forget,
the bus that goes around killing people.
Of course.
Yes, the bus. Yeah.
I mean, bus. Okay, so cancer's 4 in the list, but there's stigma attached to it, right? And it's, like we've already said.
People get very scared as soon as you use the word cancer, and people will avoid it. They will say other things.
We talked earlier, Ari, about that advert. Who's it for? Are we allowed to have a go at them?
The Macmillan, it's a Macmillan advert, but Macmillan do absolutely amazingly good work, supporting. So it's not having a go at Macmillan, really, but it's just that advert that's on the telly where people are
slow motion falling over.
And
they get caught, right, but...
They do, but that's
the message, isn't it? The Macmillan will run in and hold you up when things are falling down, really.
I don't know. I just find it...
Do you find it hard to watch?
Yeah.
I originally thought the stat was 1 in 3 of us will have cancer at some point. Apparently it's 1 in 4.
It depends on the statistics you're looking at. If you project it forward, then they're saying that by 2020 we will be looking at 47% of the population will get cancer. And it's important to realise in that statement that doesn't mean to say that those people are going to die from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our survival rates are going up and up and up and up all the time. And at least half of those people may well survive the cancer for at least 5 years and maybe much, much longer.
Yep.
And lots of evidence now about work with children, where about 75% of children that contract cancer do survive. They get over it completely, which is a huge advance since 1960s, when it was only 25% were surviving. So, I mean, we're doing amazing things with cancer, and the more we learn about how the body works, how the mind works, and how our system works, the better we get at it.
Yeah, there's a load of dosh being poured into research. Cancer Research UK, obviously there's loads of different charities that collect money in aid of research, so we're getting there, eh?
And because people are living longer as well means that more people are being diagnosed. That's another reason.
Inevitably. And that's the thing, isn't it? That as the population increases, then we'll have more and more, but our abilities to deal with them get better as well. So, which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good. I had an auntie, Lillian, Auntie Lil, who had five cancers, and then she died of pneumonia completely unrelated to a cancer. But five times she was over her lifetime.
Blimey.
Yeah, but a very stoical, very powerful woman.
Yeah.
Who didn't succumb to the emotional side of the disease. She'd get up and fight, you know, keep on going. A tough old bird, really.
Could one of you clever people give me a short explanation of what cancer actually is? Like, I know there's a little video that we're going to put in our show notes as well, isn't there, Ree?
There is. I think you best.
Do you think me?
Give us the Sean version.
All the cells in our body reproduce and continue to reproduce. One of the magic things about the cells in our body is they all agree to involve themselves in the image of the body. What happens with the cancerous cell? It decides to go off on its own and start reproducing outside of the natural reproduction process. So it gets bigger and bigger and more and clusters up. Two types of tumours, really. There's the benign tumours. And the essential bit about a benign tumour is it's discrete. It stays where it is, doesn't damage anything, doesn't affect any other bit of your body. Sometimes they need to be taken out because they get too big and they're in the way. When you get a tumour which is malignant, it's starting to affect and destroy the other cells around it. And if bits of it decide to break off of the bloodstream, it can move around your system and set up in other places. So if you start off with a tumour in your breast and it decides to metastasise or to move around your body, that you might end up with a breast tumour in your leg somewhere else as it sets up and moves around. So that benign is bad, benign is good, and malignant is bad.
Benign, good, malignant, bad.
Yeah.
Okay. And once this is kind of diagnosed and found out, there are a few ways that we can you can deal with it, or the malignant one, or either, I guess.
Yeah.
And I've got written down here, because I've done my research. Radiation, chemo, and surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the difference between radiation and chemo?
Well, radiotherapy, when people are treated with radiotherapy, it's being aimed at a specific site. So
It's a beam.
It's a beam of, that's being aimed at a specific site where they're treating.
Yep.
And chemotherapy basically goes everywhere because it's going in your bloodstream. So it's targeting everything, good cells. Bad
and
cells.
That can kind of knock you right on your backside, really. Yeah,
yeah. It's not nice. It's not nice.
And there was the chemo that will have the side effect of hair loss and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, and radiation. If you radiate certain types of radiotherapy, depending on the area, you could lose your hair if the part that they're treating.
Okay.
So sometimes with radio, you can get burns as well. You get. Which can be quite difficult if you're working on esophagus, on your throat. That can be tough. I have several clients who are on chemo cycles, and it's like being on a roller coaster because they're hit with the chemo and their body feels that and starts to go down. And then as they process it and they start to come up again over whatever their cycle is, could be a 2-week or 3-week period, and then they go back down again on another load of chemo, and it's so hard for them, especially people that are working. I do have some clients who will continue to work, so that they may have to have the week off when they're having the chemo.
That's right.
And then as they come up, they can go back to work, and then they have to go up to they're 2 out of 3, maybe something like
that. And it's that thing about us all being individual on how we respond. Some people don't have really bad side effects, or or are sick or and yep. can carry on working, you know, and then other people it can really knock them off their feet. So that's the individuality of the treatment. So that's why people can't say definitely, you know, in certain treatments this is going to happen. It's like you get this big list, it could happen, because, you know, it might not happen to you.
Right, okay, cool. So we know that cancer might be more prevalent in the years to come, but more and more people are surviving it. So I'm guessing, really, that the work that you do is dealing with people that have got cancer right now and that have had it and it's gone, but it's still left some kind of psychological imprint on them.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. So how big a deal is that?
For me and the work that I do, it is a big deal, because that's the majority of the people that I see will be at the end of treatment.
Okay.
So they've gone through, whether it's surgery, maybe radiotherapy and chemotherapy as well, but certainly it's being identified as an end of treatment. And people are expecting champagne corks to be popping and, you know, it to be this moment of relief.
Do you get a certificate?
No, you don't get a certificate.
Maybe you should.
Yeah. Maybe you should, or a badge. But it's certainly not. You can feel really isolated and quite alone, and that's when you start to struggle, or maybe to look back, because you could have been going from diagnosis to this point. A year could have passed, 8 months, 9 months, a year.
Yeah.
And in that, you look back and reflect on what has happened, and it may be at that point that you start to process it and need some help. So you may be
anxious. Also the looking back and beyond that, and nostalgically into what my life was like before this happened, you know, which is
But I think it's like the looking back and maybe feeling depression and regret, and the looking forward and maybe feeling scared and anxious.
Yeah.
And what do we do?
Yeah.
What do we do now? And certainly, if you've been left with scars, or you can't go and do what you previously did, or you don't want to, you actually, you know, you don't want to go back and live your life the way that you previously did.
Yeah. It's a near-death experience, isn't it? So,
for some people, we'll
kind of have this, like a premonition, or from now on I'm going to do this with my life, or I'm going to not do that.
The amount of people that have said to me, you know what, cancer's the best thing that ever happened to me. And it always makes me go, whoa, when I hear that. But for many people, the people that survive, it's the thing that made them get their life together. It made them sort out what was important and what wasn't. And it changed their lives dramatically.
Yeah.
And that's very powerful. I mean, one of the things for me in working with people is that those people that engage in the work that we would identify as living in the present, mindfulness, relaxation, meditation work, for them, the processes of going through the cancer journey are so much easier, because they are able to be in the present, not to be in that depressive place of the past or being anxious about what's going to happen in the future, but actually being on the journey, being in the moment. And to me, that's a huge difference for anybody who's suffering any... And I mean, we're talking about cancer here. I know that the Hope Course dips into other areas as well, but I mean, anybody who's suffering disease conditions, to live in the moment gives you a much better chance of enjoying your life as it is, but also the effects that it has on your immune system. We know, we have lots of evidence. I've got some stuff to put up on
real evidence.
Yeah, this is real. This is the scientific American evidence. People that are happy, that is, they're not depressed in the past or anxious about the future, that they are living in the moment, that their immune systems are much more robust. And that means that being positive may not cure you of cancer, but what it does is it cures you and helps you fight off other diseases that might kill you whilst your system is depleted by cancers.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. You have a much better chance of a better life and a better go at it.
Yeah.
But that's true for everybody out there that doesn't have cancer. Is if you want to be happy and have a good immune system, one of the things is live in the present and be mindful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for all of us.
All that stuff we've been talking for ages on this show, and even longer on there.
Yeah.
On our little website and what have you. Yeah, Ree, you mentioned before we came on air about introduction to meditation is kind of on your list for people you work with, and our friends at Headspace. That's an app that you recommend straight away, pretty much, sure.
Certainly for people dealing with anxiety and trying to get people help them and encourage them to live in the present, because understandably, you know, at the end of it, people can be fearful of uncertainty in the future, and it's almost like they ruminate, the rumination on that, and then the physical effects of, it's the fight and flight system really that kicks in with the fear, because it's not a tiger. You know, a tiger isn't coming to get them, which is what our fight and flight system is there for. But as far as the body is concerned, it is. The cancer is like a tiger coming to get them. So they've got all sorts of cortisol and adrenaline running around their body. Their thoughts, you know, are constant worries. So the Headspace app, getting them into that of 10 minutes a day, so many people will feed back to me and report, yeah, that's good, I really like that.
Sweet.
And it really helps them to live in the present. And it, I mean, that's one resource amongst others.
So other meditation apps are available.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, we're not the BBC, we don't need to say that. So I used to listen to the BBC radio shows. And, yeah.
But sometimes there's a simple exercise that I'll talk people through, just counting from 1 to 10, whilst when you breathe in on the count of 1 and out to the count of 2, and the task, the aim is just to get from 1 to 10 and just notice what happens, to bring them into the now. And they'll sit there and they'll be going 16, 17, and they'll think, I was only meant to be counting to 10. And then you just take your mind back and go back to the beginning and start off at 1 again. And it just shows how the mind will wander off. The mind will go off on a tangent, thinking about other things, worries, or what you need from shopping.
Yeah. Paul McKenna, in some of his new work, in his NLP work, he does recordings where you have to count backwards from 300, I think it is.
Oh, wow.
And counting backwards means you have to focus very, very clearly, so that you are living in the number. And it's very easy to lose. You have to get back on track again.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried saying the alphabet backwards? That's pretty tricky.
No.
We should release that.
We'll be trying that.
Yeah, that could be our little...
But anything like that that makes you think, that makes the cognitive part of your mind become dominant, means that the emotional part of your mind starts to diminish and come down.
Yeah. And it's that thing of, people will say, you know, don't worry, oh, don't worry, don't think about that. And they're asking to do the impossible, because they will worry and you will think about things. You can't not. Mm. So it's better to give people a tool to use as an alternative, so when it does happen and when they are caught up in that spiral, then they've got a tool to hand to use.
I think alongside that is a recognition that it's okay to be emotional.
Yes.
There is a bit of a British thing where if someone starts crying, we go, oh, no, stop, give them a cup of tea and try and quiet them down, as opposed to saying, come on, get it out, let it go.
Yeah.
And acknowledging that emotion is really, really important. So I'm not suggesting that we should just be logical. We should always be mindful of the emotion.
Definitely.
Speaking of crying, I was watching Coronation Street the other night.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And it's got this Hayley storyline going on. And I didn't cry, because I'm, like, dead.
Heartless
and dead on the inside. But I looked over and my little wife was in the corner sobbing away. Bless her.
Oh.
No, she does that quite regularly. But this was, I could tell, this was a full-on TV cry. But it's been a lot in the press, a lot obviously the build to this story. Hayley, for those of you who don't watch or aren't forced to watch Coronation Street,
that's like you and I
then there's a character, Hayley, who was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which we know is it's one of the real bad ones, or the bad one maybe. Carry on.
It's that thing you were saying earlier, Ed, though, about Steve Jobs. And it's like things can get labelled good.
Well, this is part of the media stuff, that pancreatic cancer now has been given this extra label by Coriori, which millions of people watch.
But isn't that media? It's like the fact that cancer isn't the biggest killer of people, but people are most scared of it. It's because the way that the media deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly got people talking. And the fact that they broadcasted it on Monday, and Macmillan have got this week of talk about cancer. I wonder that. I don't know. Is it just a coincidence? Because it certainly has got people talking either about how sensitive it's been done. And I had a conversation with my mum to ask her about it, because she watches Coronation Street, and patients have been talking to me about this storyline. And some people speak very positively of it, and then there are other people who get a bit worried by it.
Yeah.
But I think the support that what I hear from the from ITV at the end of it is they put the Samaritan's phone lines, and there's also, you know, Macmillan to back it up and to support people.
Yeah, you know, it's been a hard-hitting episode of Corrie or EastEnders when they... when the message comes up at the end.
Yeah.
If you've been affected by today's episode.
Yeah.
But you've got they've got to be responsible.
Yeah. We're all grown-ups, man. And it was quite hard-hitting there. I mean, the build-up to it. And, like, I'm not into Coronation Street, but she was quite a good character, Hayley.
Did you like Hayley?
I liked Hayley. Is she transgender or something as well? She was a fella back in, like, originally. And that's how she came into the show. Yeah. That's another story.
Amazing.
Yeah. But it's quite well dealt with, and you could tell, because it was basically assisted suicide in the end.
Well, I don't know. You see, I thought it was assisted suicide.
I was working at the same time, so I was only half watching it.
My resource, being my mum, is that my mum said that I think it was that Hayley... I don't know whether it was meant to be that her husband assisted her, but I don't know whether in the end he didn't. And she did it herself.
Right.
So he didn't act... I think she committed suicide.
I think it kind of ended on that Monday night, you know, a bit up in the air, and I haven't seen the episode since.
And I think it's going to be about the repercussions of that and Roy.
That could get messy.
Yeah.
Well, it will, because it...
That raises loads of issues, and I think that could even be a podcast, the issue about rights of euthanasia. But one of the things I'd like to pull back to, I mean, you mentioned Steve Jobs, and we plug into this negative thing, as is the storyline in Coronation Street. But how long did Steve Jobs survive with his condition?
Was it 10 years? 10 years odd, something like that. Probably.
Yeah, and that's amazing. You know, the guy was engaged, living in his present, doing his work. And it's those things that make good, powerful examples of people living with cancer rather than dying from cancer.
Yeah.
It's a different way of looking at it, or living it, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
But it's certainly out there. It's got everybody talking.
Yeah.
And that's good.
And that's what this is about. It's okay to talk about cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's okay to talk about death, it's okay to talk about dying. Yeah,
it's good to talk.
I think
it's
if you are missing your soap opera cancer fix, someone in EastEnders has just been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Have they?
Yeah.
So they're sort of catching up on the same sort of wave
maybe,
of storyline.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a bit of a soap opera thing, isn't it? If they're short on stories, someone either gets pregnant or someone gets cancer. But we'll see what comes of this one. But it is interesting, all the media stuff. Because Hayley, or the actress that plays Hayley, was on BBC Breakfast on Monday morning, like, promoting that night's show, and there's a lot of debate around it, which...
It'd be good, you know, the feedback, the comments, so when we put this up on our site, and there's a space for people to comment, so it'd be really good for us to hear what people think, what their views are, and engage with us.
Yep.
Most definitely.
It's good.
Most definitely. There was an article last week that I stumbled across before I even knew we were going to talk about this, which is quite handy. But anyway, I found it. It's an article in the Independent called Fighting Talk. Should cancer sufferers describe their illness as a battle? And it was a bit of a debate around, well, just that. And not, because I think there's a lady who is basically doing an online diary of her cancer treatments, pulling no punches, laying it all on the line. And some people are saying whether that's right or not I think she's been quite graphic and with all the detail of everything, which is fair to do, you know. But the whole thing about should cancer be described as a battle, that's quite an interesting subject as well, is it not?
Where are you on that?
You two are grinning at each other.
it's my background and my training was from the Eastern stuff, is that the world's about love. And it may sound mad if I say the important thing is to be able to love your illness, love your disease. If you start fighting things, you build tension and anxiety and all kinds of negative hatreds and stuff into your system. And to me, that can never be healthy. So from my point of view, that's always my point of view.
Yeah.
That that I see all processes have to be positive. And I can't see the point in fighting something. It doesn't work for me, that. Does it work for you?
No, not really. I mean, I am ever the optimist. My glass will always be half full or overflowing.
Yeah.
And so fighting the battle, no. I can understand where people are coming from if they, you know, when they feel the need to, I'm, you know, it motivates them or something. I'm fighting this. I'm gonna, you know, it's not gonna win me. It's not gonna beat me.
Yeah.
And I can understand that and their reasons for doing that. And I don't think it's a bad thing. The problem I have with it is then when people are struggling, it's almost that question of, well, what does that say about them? You know, have I not battled and fought? Or people will say, well, that's a stupid thing to say, because what am I fighting? What am I battling? I can't see something, you know. So,
yeah. But also, when you have fights and battles, you have winners and losers.
Well, exactly. And you've vanquished. That's basically what I'm trying to say, Sean. You just.
There you go.
Thank you.
So for me, loving
it's the winners
all.
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's
we all win if we love.
Yeah.
Yeah, half of us lose if we hate. Yeah.
I'm full of love.
What do you think, Ed?
I find it quite interesting. I know, obviously, I've spoken with Sean. I've done something on air about the whole... Because I never really knew what cancer was exactly. I knew it was bad, and obviously the effect it had on people, but what it was like from a scientific point of view. And then that was what Sean got talking to me about, how it's a part of you, cancer. It's not something that's invaded your body. It's something that was always there, and it's a part of you that's just taken a wrong turn. So the idea of battling it and trying to get rid of it is kind of the wrong approach.
It's almost like trying to cut a part of yourself off, you know, emotionally. And I understand we need to cut things off physically, I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that positive attitude. There are so many examples. I go on about it, about the Paralympics. I was just stunned by people, their positive response to what could have been devastating injury.
Yeah.
You know, do if your legs are blown off, do you run or do you sit in the corner and cry? What do you do?
And that's the thing, isn't it, with cancer, is how do you respond?
Yeah.
What do you do? You've had no choice in it, really.
Yeah.
It's there. So how am I going to respond to it? What am I going to do? How am I going to cope?
Yeah.
They're the type of questions.
Yeah.
And things to look at with people. What does it mean? And sometimes people need to be angry and they need to vent maybe negative emotions, and that's okay.
Yeah.
To work through whatever it is they're feeling.
Yeah. And from that point of view, when you start to look at the whole idea about what's going to happen to us all, because we are all going to get to that death point. We've got a set of choices, haven't we? We're either going to go for some kind of cardiovascular problem, some kind of lung-related problem, some kind of strokes, which I guess are in the cardiovascular. We've got the cancers, or we've got the Alzheimer's and the dementia. It's like, take your pick, because we're going to... Or it's going to be the red bus. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be one of those. Yeah, so the issue is, we all know we're going to get there, and the thing that we don't do is we don't learn to enjoy the journey with the knowledge that we're going to get there. It's almost like when we get towards the point of death, we're approaching that way, we act like we're surprised, like we never thought it was going to happen, but actually it is. You know, and that idea about being mindful and being positive, the joke in the Vipassana circle, the Vipassana meditation circle, is that the person is so much in there now, there they are meditating, and they say, oh, this is an interesting experience. Well, I haven't had this before. Oh, it's a heart attack. Oh, that's interesting. Well, yeah. And then the next step on from that is, oh, what's that? Oh, this is death. Oh, this is, yeah, I haven't done this one before. Because the person actually living in their moment.
Sensation.
Yeah, in the sensation of the moment, yeah.
Death and taxes. Two certainties in life, eh?
Yeah.
But we can't look and focus and think about that all the time.
No, we need to live in the present. We need to live in the moment. So, okay, let me go for a quote from Buddha. So, let's rise up and be thankful, for if we didn't learn a lot today, at least we learned a little. And if we didn't learn little, well, at least we didn't get sick. And if we got sick, well, at least we didn't die. So let's all be thankful. And that's the point. Whatever's happening, we need to be thankful and joyful about what it is that we do have.
Yep.
Because it may not be there that long.
He's onto something there, that Buddha.
The one that I like is the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah, go on.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, powerful. And if you're doing that, then you are living in the present.
Yeah.
I haven't got a little limerick or poem or anything. I feel bad. You've sprung that on me.
You'll have to have one for the next episode.
I got nothing, yeah. I got nothing. Before we're going to mention some links and places people can go for help and advice. Ree, just tell us before that about this Hope course that you went on in Leeds to the week.
Yeah, to the Hope course is what we've been talking about today. It's about the thing that more people are surviving, and this struggle at the end of treatment, what do we do, feeling isolated and alone. So the Hope course is a self-management program. So the idea is, it's run by Macmillan and Coventry University. So Dr. Andy Turner came up with the course, who works for Coventry University, and it is supported by Macmillan, so they fund it.
Cool.
And so it's being rolled out across the country, and there's going to be an online version. So it's a self-management programme. You get to the end of your treatment, and it's there. It's meant to be there available for you to go on. So it's about a group of 12 people meeting for 6 weeks for 2.5 hours each week. You get to meet people who are going through a similar experience to yourself, and maybe continue after the 6 weeks, you know, meeting with those people, giving each other support. And each week we look at things that are very common, like fatigue, pain. Sexuality, pain, yeah, you know, and it's basically that moving forward. So you look at mindfulness, gratitude, goal setting.
Okay.
Yeah, so cool. it's a really good course, and I suppose the connection I have with it is, for me, it's our work, it's living in the present. Yeah. A lot of what the course talks about is what we talk about on the site, what we get people to do, particularly gratitude.
These universal themes, eh?
Yeah.
They keep cropping up.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of them.
They work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're good.
Cool. So are you going to hope to roll one of those out soonish, or what's the plan?
I'm raring to go. I just need to find a venue. So a few people have suggested, because it will be here in Little Wirral.
On the Wirral, okay. Anyone out there that could help with that, give us a shout.
Well, some people have given me some suggestions for venues, so we need to go and look at them. But yeah, I want to get started.
Yeah.
Get them rolled out.
Important work.
I have this idea that, you know, I'd love it. People were finishing treatment and there was a programme for them, those that wanted to jump on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
good.
Get it out there.
Brilliant.
Good.
Good on you, Ray. Good on you.
So are we going to look at some...
Yeah, let's have a quick look then at some places that people can go to and call on for help, starting with Macmillan, who we've already mentioned.
Yeah, Macmillan website. Really good website.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've got lots of information on there. And also a community, you know, where people can like chat to each other and post topics.
Cool.
That's really good.
Forum, like it. Yeah. You like Macmillan, okay. We've also got Cancer Research UK, which you'll see that on Facebook cropping all the time. It's a major charity, right? People do all sorts for that charity, sponsored runs and all sorts, but they do some good work. Do they not?
Yeah, they do very good work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at Clatterbridge, we've got our own little can chat website. So it's the same thing. It's like a forum, you know, for people to get patients talking to each other.
Yeah.
Right, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah.
So we need to put the link up for that.
Yeah.
We will.
As well.
We will. What's this about the Maggie's Centre, eh?
Oh, yeah, the Maggie Centre. There's a Maggie Centre that's going to be opening pretty soon at Clatterbridge. And that's they're wonderful places, really.
Are they dotted around the country as well?
They are, yeah. And we need to, if we put the link up for the Maggie Centre, people can go and take a look. Lovely architecturally designed buildings, really different.
Mm.
And they started off in Scotland, but they... if you think of the kitchen being the hub where people go, it's designed on the fact that people can go in, make cups of teas, chat.
Sure.
There's clinical psychologists in them, Tai Chis. They're like relaxed atmospheres. They're on the hospital grounds, but it's that thing of being away from the hospital as
well.
I like
that idea about the kitchen as the heart of the house.
Yes, and the kitchen table where people sit around and talk. So encouraging people to talk.
Brilliant.
And there's the professionals on hand.
Nice.
So it's a charity, run by the Maggies charity.
I noticed we've got Livestrong on the list, isn't that Lance Armstrong's thing?
Yeah.
Is that still going?
It's still going. I don't know how good old Lance is, how involved he still is, but... He's a cancer survivor, aren't he?
He
may have done a few wrong things, taken a few wrong turns over the past few years, but live strong.
No, I'm glad it's still going. I mean, some of the work that they did was good.
Yeah.
Or have done. Are doing.
Yeah. And then, I searched in Twitter just to see what came up, and there's loads and loads of charities worldwide, obviously. Stand Up to Cancer, Balls to Cancer. That's a funny one. But there's loads of help out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that's an important message, isn't it? That you're not alone, and you should
definitely
need to seek help. Not just obviously for the treatment, but for the psychological. Just getting your head in gear for it.
Yeah. And just talk to other people who are going through similar things.
That's been the biggest self-help tip, isn't it? Talk.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Don't hide it. Yeah. Really, really important.
Amen.
Yeah. So our resources of the week.
Yeah.
I love this. I just had to put this one up. But they always say we've got an app for that. Well, we have an app for cancer. So
if you go to
the Cancer Management app, which is amazing, it gives you the opportunity to hook into all different kinds of resources, but also to come to terms with your own development, whether those issues are the pain issues, the social issues, the treatment issues, the drug issue. And it gives you a chance to log, and you can have your own journal on there.
Cool.
So it's a good little app you can use on iPhone, iPad.
Nice one.
I'm sure you can get it on Android as well.
I'm sure. We'll put the link up to that in the show notes. Ree, what do you got here? A book?
I've got a book, The Cancer Survivor's Companion.
An old-fashioned paper book. And everything.
Yeah, I love it. and I love this. It's by, and I've met this lady, Dr. Frances Goodhart. Being a therapist with the name Dr. Goodhart.
Do you think she changed it by default?
No, that's her name. It's just wonderful. And that's a book about practical ways to cope with your feelings after cancer. And it covers all the main things, depression, low mood, worries, body image, sleep, fatigue. Yeah, it's good. Relationships.
Looks nicely laid out as well. The Cancer Survivor's Companion.
Yeah.
I like that.
Good book.
And I got a film, just to get the little trilogy of different types of media on for our resources. I got a film called The Fountain by a chap called Darren Aronofsky. He directed it. He did Black Swan and some of the pretty cool out there films. But it's a pretty challenging film, actually. Emotional, but pretty spectacular, really. It's set over 1,000 years in 3 time periods. And the main time period is now. It's about a guy who's a surgeon, and he thinks that he's close to the cure for cancer, and at the same time his wife's suffering or dealing with cancer herself, and it just goes off on a mad tangent. But it's pretty amazing film, pretty amazing, emotional. Have a look at that.
I'll have to download it.
I'll put the trailer in the show notes, and
we'll have to watch that.
See what you think. I think we're all done. Have you got anything else to share?
I'm good. I'd just like to say it was really nice to have Ree along. I hope she comes back again.
I liked the bit when she poured water over her laptop.
Yes. We ought to keep that as an outtake.
I'll
put it at the end.
Movie.
Yeah, with a slight incident halfway through today's, but other than that, have you enjoyed it, Ree?
I don't think enjoy.
But
it's been a laugh,
It's been good fun. It's good enough.
It wasn't stressful, was it?
And we may yet have you back on the show at some point in the future. You never know.
I think it's much better when it's you two.
Well, let's let the listeners decide. You know, you tell us if you liked it or not. If you want more of Ree, you let us know, and we'll get back on the show. This is the bit where I usually say what we're talking about next week, but I haven't thought about that actually. So I'm not sure, but it's going to be fascinating, isn't it, Sean?
It always is. It always is completely enough.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, go to our website, livingthepresent.co.uk. Get all the show notes and links that we've just discussed in today's episode, as well as loads of other goodies. Put your name in the email address bar on our website and we'll send you a load of freebies, won't we, Marie?
We will, yes.
Including some free meditation files, which you might like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, people like
that. And leave us your comments.
Yeah, leave your comments on today's episode in the comments underneath and we'll reply to them.
Someone will say, can we have a photo of Marie in there?
Oof, that's asking a bit much.
Don't think so. My dulcet tones are enough.
I think we're all done.
Yeah, that's good.
Sean, I'll say goodbye to you.
Yeah, goodbye, Edward.
Ree, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for inviting me.
Goodbye, Ree.
Bye. Fun.
Yeah, and everyone, you take care, and we'll speak to you again
thanks.
Soon.
Bye now.
See ya.
Call it on the side.
Oh, shit. I'm going to pause this.